All right, so we're on Daf. I need a extension on Ayin Zayin today. I'll begin with Mishnah, three lines from the top. 77a, three lines from the top, page 153. So this is Manitin, Aisha Nodu Bumomin. This is a man, he marries his wife, and then he gets these mumim after the marriage. So let me just make sure everybody's in. Okay, so he says, Ein kofen ato lahotzi. If the wife wants out of this marriage, we don't force the husband to divorce the wife. And we'll see in the Gemara, there's going to be a question whether it's Noldu Bo Momin or Hayu Bo Momin, whether the Momin came after they were sinned or before. Amar Rishon Gamliel, Bamem Murim Momin HaKtanim. When it says Ktanim, it doesn't mean size, it means minor Momin. Abba Momin, major Momin, Kofi No Tolo Tzi. We would force him to divorce the wife. And we'll clarify what the Momin are, we'll clarify everything. Give me some space to the next mission, and then I'll pause, I'll review, and we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? Yeah, we spoke about that. We spoke with that. We've been talking about this whole thing. Okay, so now the Gemara says, line five, Gemara, and again we express our sympathies to Rafi. His nephew passed away today, and we're very sorry about the loss. And we hope Hashem. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, Rabbi Yehuda Tani Noldu. So Rabbi Yehuda, in his version of the Mishnah, he learned the Tana. The Mishnah says, like we have it, Aisha Noldu Bo Mumin. Noldu Bo Mumin means the mumim formed or existed after the erusin. Chiya Barav Tani Hayu. Chiya Barav learns Hayu, that the mumim existed already, meaning before the erusin. So he says, and the Gemara will explain each side. So Mandamar Noldu, the one who says that if it's Noldu, in other words, even though the mumim were formed later on, so with, according to the Tana Kama, we can't force them to divorce the wife. Kushkein Hayu. Certainly, if they existed before the erusin, we're not going to force divorce. The Kasavra B'Kibla, because she considered it and she accepted it. So too bad, so sad. So mandamar hayu, but the one who says hayu, that they existed before, then we're not going to get involved. Avol no du lo. But if it's no du, that's the whole, you know, ball of a different or a horse of a different color, then indeed, according to that version, we would get involved. So Tanan, we learned, now the Gemara is going to ask, make a diyuk from our Mishnah. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Amar Mishnah Gamliel, Badvim Marmurim B'mumim Kitanim. Leo says, when is this halakha apply that we're not going to force the husband to divorce the wife? If it's mumim katanim, it means like minor mumim. If it's mumim gedolim, major mumim, kofino tola hotzi, then we force him to divorce the wife. So the Gemara says, b'shleim l'man d'mar noldu. So according to the opinion, it says the mumim formed after the erusin. He says, hainu d'shani being gedolim and katanim. And I can assume there's a difference between gedolim and katanim. In other words, Tanim was, so we're not going to get so involved. But according to Leo, if it's a major mum, then we'll say this isn't what she bargained for. El Mandamar Hayu, but if the mumin, according to the opinion that the mumin already existed before the erusin, Mali Gedolim, Mali Ketanim. What difference if they're major or minor? Hasavra V'Kibla. Either way, she knew about it and she accepted it. So that comes with the territory. So the Gemara says, no, Kisfurihi Shechol Kabel. She thought, even though she knew, it could be that she knew about it, and she thought she can handle it. The Ashav in Yichol Kabel. Now she says it's too much for me. I can't handle this. And again, we're not nullifying the kiddushin. We're going to force him to give her a get. He says, now let me just go to the next mission, and then we'll summarize. We'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Now, according to the Bach, these lines are a brisa. He says, "Ve'elohim moving gedolim." Now I thought. The arts would translate it, these are the mumim gedolim, but elu can mean what are. Sometimes elu can mean what are. I thought here it sounds like what are. Elohim mumim gedolim. Oh, okay. I think that's a better translation. Okay. The elohim mumim gedolim. What are the mumim gedolim? Pirish Rishon Gamliel, so Gamliel explained, kigon nismit eno. He becomes blind in one eye. That's a major mum. Nikta yado. His hand is amputated or cut off. Benishbara raglo. His leg is smashed up. He says, so those would be mumim gedolim, and according to Rishon Gamliel, in those instances, if the wife wants out of the marriage, we would force the husband to divorce the wife. So Itmar, Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov says, and Rabbi Yochanan, halachik Rishon Gamliel. So he says, halach follows Rishon Gamliel, that indeed, if it's a mum gadol, then we would force him to divorce the wife, if the wife wants that. Rava Amar, Rav Nachman, Allah is very chachamim. Rava says, Rav Nachman, no, the Allah follows the chachamim, that we're not going to force him to divorce the wife. So the Gemara says, Mi Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, Hachi, did Rabbi Yochanan really say the halacha problem is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Means in this case, the halacha problem is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. He says, "Va'amar Rabbi Barachan Rabbi Yochanan, the kolakom shanam reshuli mashnatenu, halacha kamoto chus me'ari betzidon v'raya achrona." In other words, we have another statement from Rabbi Yochanan. The halacha always follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And here we have a statement. Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha follows it here. This is like here, but not other cases. And this is like global, or just, you know, like individual cases. And it's more global. It's always like whenever Rabbi Shmuel makes a rule in the Mishnah, the halacha follows him according to Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel, except for three cases. One is the Arev, and that's a machloket. If the the person's a guarantor on a loan, and the debtor has enough money, can the lender go after the Arev or not? So I think Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel says, I can't remember which way he comes out, but it was in that this machloket whether you can go after the arev if the debtor has money. So in that case, we don't pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel. I think Rav Shimon Gamliel says that you can go after the arev even if the debtor has money, and he says that we don't pass him like him. But Tzidon is the case Mishnah Masechet Gittin. It's where a man gave a get to his wife on condition that you return to me my itztala, my robe. And then the robe, she doesn't have the robe and she wants to give the money. Is that a satisfaction of the tanai? In other words, the robe was, let's say, worth $1,000. So she says, I don't have the robe, but I'm going to give you $1,000. So is that a good get or not? So I think Rosh Hashanah holds it's a good get if you give the money. But Raya Achrona, there's two dinim over there, but the basic idea is that is when the parties say, ein lanu edim, ein lanu raya, we have no more evidence to prove, and then the person wants to come up with more evidence after they've concluded, like, rested their case. So the halacha in one of those cases is like Rav Shmuel Gamliel. He says, so anyway, so the point is, so here, okay, welcome, we're online around 50, 20 lines down on comes Ein Zayin Amud Aleph. So the point is that the Gemara says that here we have one statement that Rabbi Yochanan says, halacha follows Rav Shmuel Gamliel in our Mishnah here. And then there's another statement. He says, like, it always follows, except these three cases. So the Gemara says, Amorayin, who believe the Rabbi Yochanan. There's different versions about what Rabbi Yochanan said. Amorayin, what he said. One version is, he says, it's like global. Like, halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel always, except those three cases. And the other is, no. It's just in individual cases, he says, halacha follows Rabbi Shmuel. All right, let me summarize the Mishnah and the Gemara, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, and then we'll move on. So in the Mishnah deals with a situation with a man who gets married and then woman blemishes, you know, or you know, show up and the wife wants out of the marriage, are there circumstances under which we would force the man to give his wife a divorce? That's the issue. So according to the Chachamim, if there are woman, we wouldn't force him to divorce the wife. And according to Shmuel, that's only if it's a mum katan, a minor mum, but a major mum, we would force him. And what's a major mum? So the Gemara says that he became blind in one eye, he became, you know, when a hand was amputated, you know, a leg was crushed. Assuming she wants to be out of the marriage, then according to Rav Shmuel, we would force him to give a get. And then we spoke about whether Noldu or Hayu, but aside from that, that's the basic thing that we learned. Okay, who's your questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
That's when she had it, he had it, or developed later on?
According to Rav Shmuel, so that's the machloket. That's the machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Chiya Barav. So please, I need everyone's attention, okay? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're talking about that the mumim developed after the marriage. But according to Chiya Barav, we're talking about that the mumim, even if the mumim developed before the marriage. In other words, so the first halacha. Right. So no, she could have seen it, but she thought, I thought I could live with it. And I said, I can't live with this. I got to get out of here. Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? There's no time span. In other words, are there things that are so, you know, egregious or so, you know, that impair the marital relationship? Well, I mean, dementia is going to be a different problem with doing a seder get when somebody has dementia. That's the issue. In other words, are there circumstances such that if the wife wants out of a marriage because circumstances have changed, So are there circumstances in which we would force the husband to divorce the wife? So according to Leal, there are circumstances like that. But the emphasis is, though, that it looks like we pass on like the Chachamim, that we would not force him to divorce the wife. Okay. All right. I'm going to move on unless any more questions. Okay. All right. Okay. Everybody else step, please. I need everyone's attention. Okay. So we're four lines above where it gets wide on Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay. Matnitin. Now, this Mishnah says there are some mumim or some defects or problems that we would force the husband to divorce the wife, and they want to say that this is even according to the Tanakhama. In other words, some defects are so egregious that even the Tanakhama, who says normally we wouldn't force the husband to divorce, but some things are so egregious, even the Tanakhama would agree that if the wife wants out, we would force him to divorce her. If he's hit with like boils all over the place, we don't know what that is, but it's going to be either bad breath or the bad from the nostrils. So the reacha chotem, bad, I don't know, breath from the nostrils or bad breath from the mouth. He says, v'hamakamets. Makamets is going to be like he collects like dog dung, but we'll see, it's like he stinks. V'hamatzarech nechoshet. He's like literally, he smelts copper, though the Gemara will somewhat qualify that, but it's also a stinky profession. Bahabursi and the tanner. Well, those are all like very smelly, stinky professions. Bain Shayu Achlunisu, whether they were in that line of work before they got married, Bain Mishanisu Noldu, or either he adopted it or the circumstance arose after they got married. Val Kulan Amara Meir, and concerning all of them, the Tanra Meir says, Afpi Shit Naima, even though he stipulated with her, I'm planning to be a bursi, I'm planning to be a Makames or Masarat the Choshet. Yeholihish Tomar, she nevertheless could say, Tzvura Yitishinicho Lekabel. I thought I'd be able to handle this, but it's really turned out to be too stinky, I can't handle it. Yasha Benicho Lekabel. So the Queen to Mayor, the Chachamim Omrim, Mikabelat Hi Al Korcha. So the Chachamim say that if it sounds like if she said, I'm in it, then she's in it. Except for the mukashrin, which is the where he's got boils all over. She can't stay with him because if they have intimate relations, I don't know, his skin falls off, so she's got to be out of there. There was an incident in Sidon. It's interesting, all the cases you see in the Gemara with Sidon, today's where Hezbollah holds sway, but there are so many, throughout Shas, they mentioned Sidon all the place. So it's in Lebanon, but yeah. But in the Bizman Chazal, there were a lot of people about him there where it seems like we remember the Gemara and Shabbos had about it. Yes, in Hebrew, it's cited in English. Yeah, I don't know what it's called in Arabic. Maaseh b'tzidon b'bursi echad shmeit. There was an incident in Tidon with one tanner who died, Bayalo Achbursi, and a brother who was also in the same line of work. So it's a question of Yibam. He says, Amru Chachamim, the Chachamim said, Yecholi Shtomar, that the Yavama could say, L'chicha yiti yichol l'kabel. It was your deceased brother, him I can handle this profession. L'cha yiti yichol l'kabel, with you not. It means that we said in the article was, it could be, let's say the brother one is Reuven. He's a bursi, but he had other redeeming social qualities that made it worthwhile, even though he's a bursi. The brother may not have those redeeming social qualities, so she says, I'm not interested in this Yibam situation. So,
I like an agreement. It's one life.
But it means it's like a package deal. In other words, it stinks with the first wife, but he's got a heart of gold. He doesn't have a heart of gold or something like that. Okay. Now, one second. Let me just take a peek and then I will pause. Right. Okay. Who's good? Questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did in the Mishnah? Anybody? Everybody good? Everybody happy? All right. I'm going to move on. Let's get the sheets out. Okay. All right. Let's go further. Okay. So we're on line six. Okay. So the Gemara, my bali bal polypos, the six very wide line. What's a bal polypos? Amar Rabbi Shmuel Reach Chotem. So Shmuel says he's got, like, I never heard of this, but it's like bad nostril breath, whatever, coming from the nostrils. The Manitatana, in a Bryce we learn, Reach HaPeh, bad breath. So it's like, you know, sometimes people think bad breath isn't such a major thing, but here the Gemara is saying it's a major moment. Rabasi matniyapcha. Rabasi learns punfa care. In other words, according to Rabasi, Shmuel is the one who says it's re'ach ha'peh, and the Braisa says it's re'ach ha'chotem. Umarach ba'simana. And Rabasi gave a siman to remember how to line everything up. And the siman is Shmuel pasik kumi mikula pirkin. Shmuel, like, never stopped learning this parak, or Shmuel is cited on each one, most of the Mishnah in this parak. But the main thing is that you link up Shmuel with lo pasik kume. In other words, like his mouth didn't stop, you know, speaking about the parak. So Shmuel, the mouth. So Shmuel is the one who says it's re'ech ha'peh. That's the siman for that. Let me do another six lines and I'll pause. We'll take some questions. So we said among the Mum Gdolim is Makamates, like Makamates, the one. So my Makamates, what's Makamates? So I'm Rabbi Yudazah Makabit Soat Klavim, the one who collects dog dung, which really does sound pretty, you know, offensive. Let's look at Rashi. So if you look at Rashi, it's a real higher than where we are in the 10th, the very 9th line on top. Makamates Soat Klavim, Lo Yadati Matsorachba. I don't know why they need to do that. About Ashkenaz Ra'iti, but in Germany, I saw Shesharin Bahema Begadim, Lefnei Kibusan Yom Yomayim. They would soak garments before laundering them with this sort of klavim. To me, it sounds kind of repulsive, but that's what they would do in Germany. What? Yeah, it's fertilizer, but I don't know why so it klavim. Well, all right, but anyway, that's it. Okay, let's get back on the Gemara. Now, okay, let's see. So it says, okay, well, let's hold up another four lines and another we'll open up the table for discussion. Okay, Meifei, so in this we ask Akasha from the, so we said Mekamates is Mekamates to what Klavin, one who gathers the dog dung. So Meifei, you see animals always come up, Shai. You should collect all these Gemaras and collect them in a safer and then write your commentary on it. Now, Meifei, so we ask Akasha from the following Braisa, Mekamates a Bursi. So the Braisa says, Mekamates is the Bursi, the tanner. So the Gemara says, so that's the Kasha. How could Rabbi Huda say it's Mekamates Soat Klavim? And the Braisa says it's the Bursi. But the Gemara says, but even if you say like the Braisa, that it's a Bursi, Tikshulach Matnitin, you're going to have still difficulty with that Pshat in our Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, Hamakamates, Bahamitzaref Nechoshet, Vaburci. The Mekamates, which you say is a Bursi, and then the Mitzarif Nechoshet, the one who smelts copper, which we'll see. Bahabursi, so it's mentioning Bursi twice. So how even with that pshat in the Braisa, there was the Kashan Rabbi Huda who said that it's the one who's gathering the Soat Klavim, but even with your pshat, how do you fit that in the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah then would be repeating itself. So the Gemara says, Mishlein Manithin Lo Kashan. So the Gemara says, nah, the Mishnah, I'm able to resolve it. How? Hababursi Gadol, when the Braisa says Mekamates is a Bursi, he means a Bursi Gadol. He's like on a major level. He's doing like major tanning, like you know, 100 hides or whatever. And the Mishnah, when it says Mitzareif, he's like a small sort of retail tanner. He does like a couple of hides. So that's what it means. So whether it's Gadol or Katan, either one. So he says, El Rabbi Huda Kasha. So, but according to Rabbi Huda, though, I have a difficulty. How could Rabbi Huda, he's an Amara, how could he argue with the Braisa? He says that Mekamates means the one who collects Soat Klavim, but the Braisa says it means a Bursi. So the Gemara says, El Rabbi Huda Kasha, so Tanayi. So Rabbi Huda would say, it's Machloka Tanayim. The Tanya, we learned the Braisa, Mekamates a Bursi. The first opinion says Mekamates is a Bursi, is a tanner. Beishrim is Mekamates Soat Klavim, the one who collects the Soat Klavim. So he's okay with that. And, all right, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? All right, how come when I speak, everybody has things to say, now I stop, nobody has anything to say? All right, let's go on. Now, we're 8 lines above where it gets wide on Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, or the, in the, you know, in the medium wide lines, 8 lines above the very wide lines. Mitzarif Nechoshet Babursi. So my Mitzarif Nechoshet, what is it? Now, Mitzarif Nechoshet means a smelter of copper, but what does the Mishnah mean by it? It's not going to be exactly smelting. We'll see in a minute. So Rav Ashi Amar Sashli Dude. So Dude means like a pot. So Rav Ashi says it means the people who eat out the sheets of copper to form pots. Apparently, it's a smelly profession. I don't know, but there's an odor connected with it. He says Rabbi Barbara Chanamar is a machate techoshet nikaro. It's somebody who digs for copper and is able to, like, you know, get the copper ore out of the ground. Tani kabati to Rabbi Barbara Chanam. We learn a brayso that supports Rabbi Barbara Chanam's explanation. Izu mitzare, what's mitzare? It's a machate techoshet nikaro. That's straight on the line. All right. Now, Amarav, Homer, and Izanva, and Mefarnes. Now, we're going back. We spoke about the Mumim. So, Rav says, if a man says to his wife, I'm not supporting you, I'm not giving you food, I'm not supporting you, and you're on your own, dearest. Yotzivi ten ktuba. So, we force him to divorce her and to pay out the ktuba. Azal Rablazar, Amal Shmaita Kamed Shmuel. So, Rablazar went and repeated the statement of Rav before Shmuel. So Shmuel said, you should give barley to Lazar. It means like he's not staying so well. Instead of forcing him to divorce the wife, why don't we force him to support the wife? Why are we forcing him to divorce the wife? So again, Rav Lazar is repeating Rav's halacha that if he's not supporting the wife, he says, I'm not supporting the wife, that we force him to divorce the wife. So Shmuel is saying, why don't you force him to support the wife? For Rav's response to that would be, in Adam Dar Nachash Bekipa, a person doesn't want to live with a snake in the same basket. And, there are certain relations in life that are very passionate. And like landlord and tenant is very passionate. Husband, wife, also very passionate relationships. I mean, when things unravel, they get very, very passionate, you know, with divorces. So he's saying that, like, if the wife feels, in other words, if he's a bum, he doesn't want to support her, and even if they temporarily get him to support her, but she doesn't want to live with this guy, like the metaphor for snake, maybe he'll go back and bump me off again. I don't want to be with him anymore. I've had it with him, that type of thing. So therefore, Rav says that we force him to divorce the wife. Now, let's just see for a little bit. Kisalik Rabbi Zeira, when Rabbi Zeira went to Eretz Yisrael, and if you remember, we mentioned Rabbi Zeira the other night. You remember, which is a night or two ago. Remember how we mentioned it wasn't in the Gemara. But you remember with Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Bab, Bablai Kipshaim, that Rabbi Yirmiyah, we said this was on today's Wednesday, right? So I think it's Monday's Da. Remember we said that Rabbi Yirmiyah, we said that learning in Eretz Yisrael is better than learning in Babel, but the people who learn in Babel, when they go to Eretz Yisrael, they become much sharper. And the Gemara says Rabbi Yirmiyah, when he made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, he referred to us, we here in Babel, as Bablai Tipshai, foolish Babylonians. And then the article mentioned that the only other Chacham who also uses that same term is Rabbi Zeira, who also made Aliyah to Eretz Israel. If you remember, the Gemara learns, I think it's in Bab Metzia, the Gemara says that Rabbi Zeira fasted 40 fasts so he should forget the learning that he learned in Babel. He wanted to forget that learning, and now he's got new learning in Eretz Israel. All right, now, anyway, the Gemara says, he felt like Rabbi Zeira, when Rabbi Zeira made Aliyah to Eretz Israel, Ashkel Rabbanan Bar Yefet, encountered Rabbi Yom Briyefet, the Afri Kamar Lamashmi, Rabbi Yochanan. He encountered Rabbi Yom Briyefet that was repeating the same halacha that Rav had said in Bavel, that we force the husband who doesn't want to support the wife to divorce the wife. So he encountered Rabbi Yom Briyefet, who was quoting that name of Rabbi Yochanan. And he says, Amar Lei, Adak Suasarin Lalaz Rabbi Bavel. He says, for that halacha, they said, like Shmuel said, that you should give barley. Like giving barley is like animal food. You should give barley to Rav Lazar and Bavel. So anyway, the point is, he's saying that the Shmuel didn't agree with it. Okay. Anyway, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I said so far?
Is he cursing him? I tell
him barley. No, he wasn't cursing. But he was trying to say that Shmuel just did. Yeah, well, it's saying like you're not saying the learning so well, but that's what Shmuel is trying to say. All right, now let me see if I have anything to say on this. From this, and then move on. How come whenever I want to talk, everybody's talking now? Everybody's so quiet. Okay, now let's take a look. No, it's when I'm talking, I get annoyed. When I'm talking, I'm silent, then I want to hear from everybody. Okay, let's look back in the Gemara. Okay, now, the last narrow line on, last medium wide line on Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. So, Amar Yehuda Marav, now we have Amar Yehuda Marav Asi, but in the size is Amar Yehuda Marav. He says, In Ma'asin El Tzulo, that we would only force the husband to divorce the wife if the wife was a psula. He says, that's what he says. I'm going to read in Ma'asin L'psula. Kiamita Kami Shmuel, when I said this halacha before Shmuel, so if it's like it would fit in a lot of it's Rav, and Rav, you could study with Rav, then when Rav passed away, he went to study with Shmuel. So he said, I repeated this halacha before Shmuel, Amar, so Shmuel said, Kohen Almana, Kohen Gadol. In other words, let's say you have a Kohen Gadol who's married to Almana, yeah, we'd force him to divorce her. Grusha v'chalutza, the Kohen Hedyot. Or if a Kohen Hedyot is married to a Grusha chalutza, then we do that same. Mamzer and Tin Yisrael, if Yisrael is married to Mamzeret or Natina, but Yisrael and Atin Mamzer. Or, we'll see, hold off, wait five lines, and we'll get to it, okay? Aval, Nasai Shav Shayim Esther Shanim, but if he married a woman and was with her for 10 years, below Yalda, and she didn't give birth to a child, in Kofanota, we wouldn't force the husband to divorce the wife. That's what Shmuel is saying. Now, Rav Tachlifa Bar Abimi, Amar Shmuel, Rav Tachlifa Bar Abimi says the name is Shmuel, so they're both quoting Shmuel. Even if he was married to a woman for 10 years at birth, we would force him to divorce the wife. Now, the main difference is, or we'll see in a minute. So now the Gemara connects to our Mishnah. Tanan, Mishnah says the following case, we force the husband to divorce the wife. Mukashchin, if he's afflicted with boils. Ubal polypos, which we know is either the bad breath or the bad nostril breath. So, Mishnah Rabasi. So now, according to Rabasi or the Rav, you know, Rav, whichever we do it, it would fit in. He says, the Rabbanan Katani, it means that the Mishnah is only listing the people we forced to divorce who are possible on a Rabbanan level. In other words, the person who's got bad breath, that's only the Rabbanan level that we force them to divorce it. The right to Lo Katani, the Mishnah is not addressing, you know, Torah prohibitions. So the Mishnah is talking about rabbinic prohibitions, and then Shmuel is talking about Torah prohibitions. So according to Rav Asi, everything lines up. El Rav Tachlifa Bar Avimi, but according to Rav Tachlifa Bar Avimi, who quoted Shmuel, and Shmuel also mentioned about the woman who was married for 10 years, and Shmuel, according to that version, says that we would force him to divorce the wife. If that's the case, meaning, the obligation to divorce wife is only rabbinic. In other words, on a deraisa level, he doesn't have to divorce the wife. He can marry another wife. He can do other things. He doesn't necessarily have to divorce her. But on a rabbinic level, he should divorce her because mistama, he won't marry another wife. He won't continue unless this wife is gone. So that would be rabbinic. So how do we understand Shmuel's statement? So if Shmuel is talking about dinim deraisa and the Mishnah is talking about dinim derabanan, so I understand. So the first version, so everything's good. So the Mishnah is derabanan and Shmuel is talking deraisa, but the second version, Shmuel also has a case which is derabanan and the Mishnah doesn't teach it. So why doesn't the Mishnah teach it according to the second version? So Amar of Nachman lo kasha. Nachman said there's no contradiction between the second version of Shmuel's statement and our Mishnah. Habamili habashote. Because there's different ways of forcing the husband. In other words, if she's been with him for 10 years, so she says we force him to divorce her, means with words. We try to, you know, we try to induce him to speak to him that he should divorce her. But the Mishnah, when it says, well, let's wait 1 minute. The Mishnah, when he says that we force him, he means like we'll take a strap, we'll whip him, we'll get him, we'll do physical pressure. So Makif Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba has a strong kash on this. He quotes from the Pasuk in Mishlei, the Book of Proverbs, "Bidvarim lo yusar abed," like with words, the servant is not chastised. And in other words, the servant's not, you know, behaving. He's not acting the way you want. Like you have a worker or whatever, or the servant's not acting right. Words won't do the trick. You need corporal punishment. So the Gemara is rejecting the idea that we would just talk to the husband. Ela Amar Rabbi Abba Hava Habashoti. So Rabbi Abba says no. They're both talking about with straps. In both cases, we would whip. So both cases, we whip. How come the Mishnah doesn't list the case of married for 10 years on the top line and on Simon the base? So hatam ki amra habina ba'de shavkinalo. In the cases of the Mishnah, if the wife says, I'll stay with him. In other words, you know, he's got bad breath. He's got all these other things. He's been sorry if he's that. I'll put up with it. So then we would leave her alone. Hacho avagavda amra habina ba'de lo shavkinalo. Here, with the case, with the woman who's married for 10 years without a child, even if she says, I'll stay with him, that's nice, but we're not going to allow you to do it. And so in other words, he wants to say that the din is different. In other words, so he's doing cases that are derabbanan, but din and derabbanan that all have the same rule. He says, so the Gemara says, but wait a second, for mukashchin, but one of the cases in the Mishnah is mukashchin, the person who's got boils all over his skin, the afogav da amra abina ba'dei lo shav kinala. In that case, we said all the cases in the Mishnah, if she says, I'll put up with it, fine, we'll put up. But mukashchin, we wouldn't allow that to be done. Did not, because we learn in the Mishnah itself, it says, chutz mukashchin. Mukashchin, even if she wants to put up with it, we won't put up with it. Let her. This is for his benefit, because if they have relations somehow, like the skin will, because skin will come up, it's bad. But katani, nevertheless, the Mishnah learns that case. So the Gemara says, hatam ki amra dayarna bahadei besahadei shavkin alo. Even in that case, if she says, I'll stay with him with witnesses in the house, meaning that we'll ensure that we're never intimate with each other, then we would let them stay together. So there is a way, even in that case, that we would let them stay together. It says, Haka, but here with the woman who's married for 10 years without children, Afagav da Amra Dayarna Bahade Basade, even she says, I'll live with him, I won't be intimate with him. And in other words, we said, like, I might, you know, be an, you know, a negative influence in him to marry another wife. In other words, we want to induce him to get another wife. So in other words, even though he can marry more than one wife, but if he's got one wife, so he's less likely to get another wife. So I won't be intimate with him. But even with that, lo shav kinala, we're not going to allow her to be there. So that's the answer that Gemara gives. So the basic idea is our Mishnah is speaking about dinim derabanan, and Shmuel speaking about dinim deraisa, but there was one case which was the derabanan, but that derabanan case is like a yotzei dofen, because there's no way to override it. The case in the Mishnah, there's always a way to override it. Okay, now, did you want to say something with Dave?
Yeah.
No?
Kids, assuming it's her fault,
she's gonna
have
so not necessarily. So the Gemara learns, and they had this in the art scroll. In other words, it might be, it might not even be either one's fault. Like the Gemara learns that each one, if they'll go to another spouse, they could each have kids, but together they can't have kids. And so that's the piece with that. No. In other words, it's just saying this shidduch isn't working out with kids. If they each get different spouses, maybe they will each have kids. But this one's not working out. All right, that's where we're going. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody good? All right. Depending on how much time we have, we'll talk about some other things. All right, let's keep moving. Now, okay, so, all right. Okay, now, the Gemara says we're on 9-8 on, or whatever, on 9-Zion with days. So, and by the way, it's nice to have all the Zoom people back. I'm sorry for the difficulties in the previous days. So, Tanya, I'm Rav Yossi. So we learned the Braisa, the Tanya Rav Yossi says, Sakni Zakin Echad Mi Anshei Yerushalayim, that one older person from the Anshei Yerushalayim told me, there are 24 types of Mukhe Shchin, like people afflicted with boils. He says, V'kulan Amru Chachamim Tashmish Kashalahen. And in all those instances, the Chachamim taught us that being intimate with one's wife is very harmful for them. Ubali ra'atan kasha mikulam. But if the person's has ra'atan, that's the worst of all. And we'll explain what ra'atan is in a minute. And there's a whole machloket among the mafarshim. So mimayahavi, what does ra'atan come from? The tanya, we learn the braisa. Hikizdam v'shimesh. If a person has his blood light, it is blood drawn from him, and they would do that for health reasons. And then he has relations with his wife, having lubanim v'itikin. He'll have children who are like very feeble, very weak. I think the idea is like he's like been enfeebled by the blood being removed, and now the kids will also be that way. If both of them had their blood drawn and they had tashmish, the kids will be bali ra'atan. So amara papa lo amara lo time medium. That's only if he didn't have something to eat between the time that the blood was drawn and he had tashmish. About time medium late labav. He has something to eat in between the blood drawing and the tashmish is nishkafer luck. So my simanim, what are the simanim of ra'atan? Dalfanene, his eyes water. The daive nechire, is like his nose runs. But the itile rirumi pume, he's got like saliva coming out of his mouth. Ramudidve ilave, and the flies hang around him. Umayasute, what's the cure for him? Amarabaye, pila vludana. So pila is, I think, pennyroyal. And ludana, I think, is wormwood. Here the goza, he has the shavings, the bark from the nut tree. The girda, the ashpa, or the ashkafa sounds like better. The girda, the arach, like the shavings of a hide. Ukleal malka is a lily. Umakla, the dikla sumka, and the calyx of a red date, of a an unripe date. Bishalik luhubadi dadi, he'll cook all those things together. Umayale lebeta the shisha, he'll bring it into like a marble house. The Gemara always has the marble houses, like there's no wind in the marble house. Ve'ilo ika beta the shisha, if there's no marble house available, mayale lebeta the shav livne baricha, he'll bring it to a house that has walls of 7 bricks thick and 1 aricha is half a brick. Ve'natale tlatma kasia reshe, he'll have them pour, or he'll pour on his head 300 cups of this concoction. And they said 300 might be an exaggeration. It's like a number. He says, Adrapia are eat the moche until his skull becomes soft. The karala moche, they'll like be able to cut open his skull. And then there's like some bug, some organism that's in the head. Umaiti arbitarfe da asa. They'll bring 4 leaves of the myrtle. Umadli klokad kara. Umotiv khad. They'll like pick up each leg of this insect organism, put it on 1 leaf. And then put the leaf underneath, he'll pick up the leg and put the leaf underneath the leg, each leg. Mishakta b'tzavta b'kailei, and take it with tongs and burn the organism. The ilo hadar ilave, because otherwise it's going to come back to him. So the Gemara, okay, just 1 second. So Makriz Rabbi Yochanan, would announce, Hizaru mizruve shabalei ratan. Be careful of the flies of the people who have this ratan. Ribzeru lo havayati b'zike. Reb Zeru would not sit on the downdraft from a person who had ra'atan. Reb Lazar lo ayel ba'ale. Reb Lazar, it sounds like our COVID, quote-unquote, quarantine. Reb Lazar wouldn't go in a tent with somebody who had ra'atan. Reb Yami Reb Asi lo ba'atli mibe'e dahi mabua. If there was ra'atan people in a certain mabua, a certain mabui, like an alleyway, so like the food, so the food that's sealed is safer, but even the eggs, they wouldn't eat. He says, Rabbi Shuben Levi, Michrach Behuva Asik Betorah. Rabbi Shuben Levi, he would hang out with them and study Torah with them. Amar, a Yelad Avim Yelad Chain. So he says, it's like Pasuk and Mishlei, like the Torah, that's why it's like a metaphor, is like a beautiful hind, like it's like a deer, Yelad Chain coming off with beauty, but Gemara darshens out, Im Chain Ma'alel Lomdea. In other words, the Torah gives grace to the people who learn it, Aguni Lo Magna. Certainly it should protect you. In other words, the Gemara is learning, or Rabbi Shimon Levi was learning, that if the Torah gives grace to a person who studies it, certainly the Torah is going to protect the person so he can continue to have the grace. Okay, now let me just pause for a minute. Let me do some lines, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, now, he's got a lot about Bali Ratan. He says the Gemara relates that Rabbi Shimon Levi was an exception. He would courageously study Torah with ratan victims and relied on the merit of his Torah study to protect them from contracting the disease. The Gemara in Pesachim and Dachet derives from Pasuk that Shluchi Mitzvah Einon Yizokin, that individuals en route to perform mitzvah will not suffer harm, is limited to cases where there's no imminent danger. However, one may not place himself in harm's way, even when on a mitzvah mission. Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman consequently asked why Rabbi Shimon Levi put his life at risk to study Torah with ratan victims. There was how Torah has some protection, but how am I putting himself? Yeah, in answer, Rabbi Elchanan distinguishes between the mitzvah of Torah and other mitzvahs. The Gemara says that Rabbi Shimon Levi derived from that Torah study protects one from disease from pasuk and mishlei. He inferred from that pasuk that Talmud Torah offers more effective protection than other mitzvahs and is able to protect one from harm even when shlichi is zeika. Torah is like in a category all by itself. And then he says, see also the Gemara in Sota and Chapalef, derives from Pasuk near Mitzvah of Torah Or, and the Torah provides protection from harm forever, whereas the Mitzvah offers protection only during the performance of the Mitzvah. The Ritva indicates that the Torah study offers protection only for one who studies Torah Lishma with pure intentions, without ulterior motives. Therefore, only a great sage, the Rabbi Shimon Levi, was able to put himself at risk to study with Ratan patients. The Gemara says that Ratan is caused by an insect or parasite near the brain. The Chidah suggests that Ra'atan is a metaphor for a spiritual illness whose victims have difficulty in curbing their temptations, for they desire everything that appears pleasing to their eyes, as he associates the word Ra'atan with Ra'ah, sight. By immersing in Torah study, this malady can be cured. So in other words, if Ra'atan is I'm looking at the wrong things in life, you know, and then if I study Torah, I get cured from it. It's hard to figure out how the parasite picks in and the bugs. All right. Alternatively, the Satmar Rebbe Zal suggests that Ratan is a metaphor for one suffering from heretical doctrines and beliefs. And Apikoros is compared to a person with an infectious disease because he persuades others to follow him. In other words, they're learning the war more metaphorically. He says, in other words, like it spreads because he's got the heresy. The great faith that Apikoros is, the great faith that Rabbi Shmuel Levi is capable of having a positive influence to a person through the study of Torah. Okay, now, did you have some things you wanted to say before Odeh? Right. Okay. Anybody else have anything to say? Yes. So I don't know. I don't know what would be the case with Saraz. I don't know what would be with Saraz. Well, it could go away if he does tshuva, but if he doesn't, then it wouldn't. And it's Yishami Chutz. Yeah, so I don't know what would be if he has Saraz. All right, now, there's much more on this illness and the halakha to relate to it, but let me finish the parak, and then if we have time, we'll come back to the other things, okay? So let's go further to the Gemara. Okay, so we're on the fourth very wide line on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. So, Ki Abashachi, when Rabbi Shimon Levi, his time to die had arrived, Amulei the Malcham Abed, they said to the Malcham Abed, sitting like the you know, Besdin Shemala said to the Malcham Abed, Zila Abile Ruute. Like, in other words, you have to take Rabbi Shimon Levi's life, but do whatever his ratzon is, and fill whatever he wants you to. So, Azal Fazilai, the Malcham Abed appeared to Rabbi Shimon Levi, and Rabbi Shimon Amar Le, Achilei Duch Toys. Rabbi Shimon Levi said, I'd like to see my place in the Olam Abba, in Gan Eden. So, Amar Le, he says, fine, no problem, the Malcham Abed says. So, Amar Le, Rabbi Shimon Levi says to him, Havli Sakina. Dilma Mivatatli but Oraka. Because listen, I don't want to get scared on you're transporting me. Give me your sakin. And the Maral says the sakin is a metaphor for the Malachmav's ability to take people's lives. So it was, give me your sakin. You're not going to take any's life. You're not going to take my life. And I want to see my place in Gan Eden. So you have an Ahilah, you give them the sakin. Himatalatam, when they get to the location, Dalia, he lifts up Rabbi Shimon Levi. The article said there was like a wall. He lifts him up to the top of the wall. And he shows him where his place is. Shavar Nafalugis. So Rabbi Shimon leaps and goes on the other side of the wall. So Nafti Bikran Glimi. So Malcham Abed grabbed onto Rabbi Shimon Levi by the corner of his garment. And again, each one of these Gemaras you can learn on many different levels. He says here, Amarle. So it was Malcham Abed is like grabbing him to bring him back. And it was like, I was going to show you the place, not that you get to go to the place, and you're still alive, and I have to take your life away from you. So Amar Lei, B'shua Tadlawatina. So Shua Levi then takes a Shua, I'm not coming, I'm happy here. It says, Amar Kutcha Brechu. So Ribono Shalom said, Yitchel Shua Tana Hadar. If he, Rabbi Shua Levi, had ever asked, you know, for a Hatarat Shua in this world, then he's got to go back. Otherwise, not. Nah. So if he never asked to be matir shua, then that's the shua. That's it. You know, nobody made anybody else swear. If Shimon Levi says he gets to the place, he sees his olam haba. He says, "I'm making a shua. I'm not going. I'm happy here. He makes a shua that way. So the Malcham Abed says, "What can I do?" But he says, "Amar lei havli sakinoi." He says, "Let me have my sakin back." So he says, "Lo havaka yayivlei." No, he didn't want to give it back to him. So Nafka Batala, like a heavenly voice came out and said, Va'amrlay, Havnahele, he says, you have to give back the knife, the sword, the Bitbah, the Birita. It's necessary for all the other creatures. The Malcham Abed needs to be able to kill the people. All right, that's the piece of Rabbi Shimon Levi. But the Kilur Shimon Levi is the only one who was able to see his place in Gan Eden when he was alive, right? That's a very unusual case. And again, Rabbi.
You can't do mitzvahs there.
I guess he had so much fun not being there. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, the other thing is that Rabbi Shimon Levi, I told you, he's the only one who's mentioned in both the Mishnayot, the Brises, and the Gemara. He's the last mission of Uchsin is Rabbi Shimon Levi. I said a sparkle in the Shalomot, and then there's a famous member from Shimon Levi, which is like Kul Omer Ameni Heshmi Rabbi Bechol Kocho. If you say Ameni Heshmi Rabbi with all your strength. And this question doesn't mean loud or with Kabbalah, but it means both. And Korn Lo Zardino, Shoshivim Shana, like even old Zardin gets ripped up. So Makri Zelyao Kame, so Yawanavi announced before Rabbi Shimon Levi, Panu Makom Labar Levoi, like clear out a space for Bar Levoi, Panu Makom Labar Levoi. Azal Ashche Rav Shimon Yochai. So Rav Shimon Levi encountered the Tana Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Tabayati Baltzar Taftachai Pisa. He was sitting on 13 golden thrones. So I saw, in, I think the Masipta and the Arsul both said it might be 13 thrones that were like piled up one on top of the other. But the 13, again, each one of these things, you learn this more on different levels. So they quoted in the Masipta, they quoted from Rabbeinu Bachya, on one of the parshiot, it might have been parsha Vayechi, that the word Echad in Gematria is 13. And it corresponds with the 13 midot that the Torah is the Dreshet Bahen. So somehow if a person is Zocha, so he gets like there are 13 milos, there are 13 levels in Gan Eden, meaning the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was Zocha for 13 miles in Gan Eden. And he was able to avoid, like, I don't know, Gehenna was also like 13 parts there. He was able to avoid that and with the Echad. So he says here, so Amarle, so Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says to Rabbi Shimon Levi, Atu Barley Boy, are you Barley Boy? Amarle Hain, he says, absolutely. He says, Nirata Keshet B'Yamecha. In your lifetime, did you see the rainbow? Did you see a rainbow? Now, it's going to come out, and Rashi explains that the rainbow is a siman that the door is sinning, but Hashem is not going to punish them because the rainbow is a siman that Hashem made a bris that he's not going to punish. But if there's a tzaddik on a high level, so the rainbow would not appear because the chuyos of the tzaddik would prevail. So he says, Nirata Keshet B'Yamecha. Did you ever see a rainbow? Amar Lehein. He says, yeah, we did see a rainbow. So he says, you can't be Rabbi Shimon Levi, because Shimon Levi, he's a tzaddik, and the rainbow would have been. But the Gemara says, lo, he wasn't true. The lo havai means there was never a rainbow in the time of Rabbi Shimon Levi. El Savar, he would have thought, lo, actually, tibuj lan afshai. In other words, I don't want to be so arrogant to say there was no rainbow, and then that makes me look like such a tzaddik. So I'll say that there was a rainbow, but in a konami, there was no rainbow in his lifetime. Let me wrap up the parak, and then let me come back to some of these things from the sheets. Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Shashvini Hava. Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa was like pals with the Malach HaMavet, which is a sort of interesting sort of relationship. So he says, Ki Hava Kanicha Nafshe, when it was time for him to die, Amrulei the Malach HaMavet, Zil Avidei Ute. So they said in Shemayim, you should do his Retzon. It's his time to die, but do whatever he wants. Azal Gabe Vitchazilei. So he goes to Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. And Rav Chanina Bar Papa is someone we mention at every CM, right? One of the sons of Bar Papa. He says, Al Zaga Lagabe Vitchazilei. He went and he appeared to Rav Chanina Bar Papa. Amarlei, Shavki Tlak Nyom Adanahadar Tamudoy. He says, I need another 30 days. What I want, my last request is give me another 30 days. He says, because I want to chazar my learning. The Amri, because they say, Ashri Mishaba Makan Mitamudobi Ado. Fortune is the person who comes like to Shemayim. And he has his learning in his hand. So I want to chazer my learning. So I have my learning in good shape. Shavkei. So the Malach Mavet left him. Labata talked to the Yomin after 30 days. Azal et chazi lei. So the Malach Mavet again appears to him. Amarlei, achri li duchtoi. He says the same thing as Rabbi Shimon Levi. Show me my place in Gan Eden. Yeah, how can we close in the Gemara? Well, Torah Shabbat is good, but it's good to keep the Gemara open. So there's always more. There's always more to see. Always more to see. It's still so. You can still see the Hebrew again. Otiot machimot. Amarlei lechayi. He says, fine. He says, Amarlei habri sakina. Let me have that knife. So he says, Dilmavat liba orcha. I'm afraid you're going to scare me when we're going there to the next place. Amarlei kichabrak by lenebali. Aha, I've been through this before. You want to do like your chaver Rosh Hashanah? I'm ahead of that. So Amarlei, so he says to him, "I teach Sefer Torah, b'chazi, bring a Sefer Torah, b'chazi mi'ikamidi d'chibbe glo kiamte. See, is there anything in that Sefer Torah that I didn't fulfill?" In other words, he was trying to prove that he was just as virtuous as Rabbi Shimon Levi. Amarlei, so the Malach HaMavet said to him, "You think you were like Rabbi Shimon Levi? Mi'icharchad b'bali ra'atan. Did you cling to the Bali Ra'atan, the Asak b'Torah, and then study Torah with the Bali Ra'atan?" So you weren't the same as Rabbi Shimon Levi. He was all the Bali Ra'atan. But Pilu Hachi, notwithstanding that, the Gemara says, Kinach Nafshe, when Rabbi Chanina ben Papa passed away, Ifsikle Amuda Denura ben Dela Alma, there was a pillar of fire that like interposed between his dead body and everybody else. Ugamiri, our Masorah is, the Mifsik Amuda Denura, that the pillar of fire only appears, El Lachad Bedara, one person in a generation, or the train bedara, or two people in a generation. Karib Lagabe Ibn Alexandri, So Rav Zadri wanted to come close to the cloth of the body. So Amar, he says, Asei b'shvil kavod chachamim. Out of kavod chachamim, you know, move away to the pillar of fire. Lo ashkach, didn't do anything. Asei b'shvil kavod avicha, out of kavod of your father, he says, lo ashkach. He's like addressing Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. Asei b'shvil kavod asmach, of your kavod. In other words, I want to be able to give like a hesped for you, but I have to do the hesped near the body. It's tali. So the pillar of fire disappeared. Amar Abaye, Lapuke Mimandlo Kien. He says, this is in contradistinction that there was this pillar of fire comes to, you know, only for somebody who fulfills the whole Torah. In other words, he was a great person in his own right, as opposed to somebody who lo kien. Now, in the parentheses, we have a pilu orachad. If you have a pilu orachad, the marshal takes it out. But if you have a pilu orachad, it could mean that there are different halakhot that are learned from each letter in the Torah, and if he, in other words, he observed the whole Torah, even things learned from one letter, and he observed everything. He says, "Amarli Rabbi Bar Matna, lapukimimar dolitli ma'akel igre." So, in contradistinction to a person who doesn't have the ma'akel, the parapet around his roof, meaning so. Abaye is the one who made the previous statement. So he's saying that Abaye was missing the ma'akeh. So in other words, this is like showing the distinction between him and you, Abaye. So he says, "Velohi, it's not true. Mahava, Abaye did have a ma'akeh, but he shaita who deshad yizika." At that moment, when he was speaking, the wind had blown the ma'akeh off the roof, but he had a ma'akeh. So Amr b'chanina b'meima in Bali Ratan b'Babel. How come there no Bali Ratan in Babel? Because they eat beets. Rishokin Shechar Shal Hizmi. They eat this beer of Hizmi. Hizmi is, what's Hizmi? What is it? Okay. Yeah. Hizmi is like the thorns. The thorns. Okay. Amrib Yochanan, the Nema in Mitzorah in Babel. How come we don't have Mitzorah in Babel? Rishokin Tradin, Rishokin Shechar, Rokhsin the Meprad. Is they eat beets and they drink the beer and they bathe in the Euphrates. Hadra la chamad yerishto. Okay. What? Okay, one second. Let me do just one line in the next mission and then I'll speak a little bit. That'll be it. Aisha shnaflu nachasim machlo tatares. If a woman inherited properties before the erusin, modem bechavet hilal shemo cherven otenet bekayam. That the Beit Shammai will agree that she can sell and deal with it even after the Erusin. We'll explain more tomorrow with this halakha. And that's a good transaction. Oh, we'll talk more tomorrow about this. Okay, now let me just say a little more, and then that will be it. So one question which they speak about is how could Rabbi Shimon Levi have put his life at risk to study Torah with people who had this contagious disease? Isn't there a principle that one is not permitted to knowingly put himself into danger, even perform mitzvah, and rely on a miracle that Hashem will protect him? But that's what the one answer we gave. So the Meshach Chachmonster, the Rabbi Yeshua, was so confident in his constant attachment to Hashem that he had no reason to fear anything in the world of nature. Okay, and then we did Rabbi Chanan already. Now he goes on. So Rabbi Chanan said that it doesn't apply to the mitzvah Torah study. Torah study is unique. Others suggest he was allowed to be in the vicinity only because he was teaching Torah publicly, his merit teaching Torah publicly to protect him from harm. Okay, now, this question is bearing also on the question of a doctor treating a patient with a contagious disease. Rabbi Chaim Palagi was asked about a doctor who treated patients with communicable diseases, and the members of his shul wanted to prevent him from davening with them due to the fear that he would bring a disease into the shul. So Rabbi Chaim Palagi lived in the 19th century in Turkey. So we had, like, a member of the shul was a doctor, but the members in the shul didn't want the doctor in the shul. The doctor had paid for his spot in the shul, but they felt that he's like involved with all these people with disease. We want to kick them out. Palagi ruled in favor of the congregants and instructed the doctor to distance himself from others because of the fear he would transmit to others the disease. He also ruled that people are not obligated to endanger themselves to fulfill the mitzvah of bikur cholim. Sicily Ezra wrote that it is permitted for a doctor to treat a patient with a contagious disease. It's considered a great mitzvah, and he does not have to fear of becoming ill. Okay, let me just end the recording for a second. 1 second.